Hello, before we get started, I just wanted to announce that Lena and I are guest starring on this week's episode of the podcast, The Mistletoe Secret, which is a podcast hosted by Trey Plutnicki and Daniel Kunkel, where they are watching every movie in the Hallmark Christmas movie canon, talking about each one, and then trying to prove how they all take place in an interconnected cinematic universe, much like the MCU, but it's the HCU, the Hallmark Cinematic Universe. We are on this week talking about the 2013 movie, The Christmas Spirit. And there's also a bonus episode of us watching the movie with live commentary if you want to watch along. So be sure to check that out, The Mistletoe Secret, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, Ugly Podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm recording.
I can be you, can I got the lyrics on? Be my best friend.
I can be your right arm.
We'll go through a fight or two.
No harm, no harm.
We'll build a cocoon
of love and respect.
An octave jump.
Well, come on.
You promise whatever you like.
I'll never collect.
Right!
Okay then.
I'm ready. I'm ready now. Someone.
Marry me a little. Love me just too enough. Much. What? I don't know the lyrics. It's just enough.
Thank you, everyone. That was your free concert. Hope you enjoyed it.
What spurred that?
I don't know.
Okay, you're just thinking about company?
I guess, but it was just that song.
Okay.
You can be your best friend. What were we talking about that I started singing that?
I have no idea.
You know, I just got company on the brain all the time.
We were talking about Evita, but that has nothing to do with company.
Patty LaPone.
Yeah, there it is.
Was Ava Perone, and she's Joanne in the current revival of Company.
That's what it is. Missinople makes her premiere in this episode.
That's true. Missinople is in this episode. Mm-hmm. Everyone better pay attention. Do you want to get to it?
It's only a little. You only see a flash of her, but it's she's in the very there. You background. Guys gotta go rewatch it. Go rewatch it. If you don't see it, go watch it again.
About 10 rows back in the sectionals audience, uh-huh. Patty LaPone is wearing Groucho Marx glasses.
Yes.
and a very silly propeller hat.
Yes, it's so silly.
It is the silliest thing you'll ever see. Everyone, go check it out.
The time stamp
is 28 minutes, 15 seconds.
Oof. What is that?
I don't know.
I gotta see.
It's Patty LaPone in Groucho Marx glasses in a propeller hat.
Of course.
You promise
someone
whatever you like. I'll never collect.
You're right. What'd you say? 28 minutes, 16 seconds?
I said 28, 15.
Okay, then. I'm ready now. Someone, I'm ready.
What is it?
I thought it was the minute that Mike's dad walks in. It's not.
That would have been so funny.
I think when his dad walks in, it's like the second before.
What is it?
They're just dancing. Okay. Sorry, I got distracted. I was trying to see if Mike's dad was there, and then I think I just watched for 15 seconds.
She's there instead of one of the band members.
Yes. There yes. It is.
She's disguised as one of the band members. Yes.
Uh-huh.
All right. Let's... Everyone, here's your intro.
Do we swink? Oh, no.
We gotta sync up. That was the cold open.
Oh, was it?
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to... Okay, what's going on with me today? Are we doing okay? Hi, everyone.
Me?
I was mostly talking to myself, okay. But are you doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Are you doing okay?
Yes. I was just don't know why I was putting on that voice.
Yeah, I liked it.
Should I continue?
Yes, the whole great. Time.
Welcome to your episode on Edge of 16.
I can't tell if this is an impression of something or
No, this is my true voice.
Oh, yeah.
This voice is one I put on because I think it's more professional.
Sure.
But when I'm just relaxing, I talk like this. This is how I speak. Around the house.
Do you have a customer service voice?
I think it's just my normal voice, but pitched up a half step. No, I don't really. Do you?
Let's hear. Hell yeah.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Well, okay. So once upon a time, I worked at the Utah Shakespeare Festival box office. So let's role play a phone call. Festival box office, how can I help you?
I'm mad because my seats were terrible and I want new ones.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Was this for a show that you already saw, or is this a show you're going to see and you want different seats?
It's a show I already saw. It was the 2013 production of Anything Goes, and I'm still mad about it.
Of course. Well, can I put you on hold for just a second?
No.
Hold. Can you believe this fucking guy? On hold. I can't do anything for you. Have a nice day. See you later.
I'm going to light you on fire.
That's my customer service voice.
That's beautiful.
It's just the most cartoony version of my voice, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think my Utah accent comes out. I'm getting you these tickets for Thursday. And it's just very
no
pitched.
Thursday?
I don't say Thursday.
Thank goodness.
But I sure say majors sometimes.
I did when I worked at Disney World.
Major for major.
When people were being really rude to me. I would just get more and more polite to the point that I was being patronizing to them. I would smile even bigger and bigger the matter they got.
Yeah.
And be like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry about that. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. And that was my way of getting back at them, was being so sweet about it that they could, that it felt
what
kind of sarcastic.
What the hell are people complaining about in Disney World?
Everything.
Ugh.
People will come in. This never happened to me, thankfully. But it happened to a lot of my coworkers. People will come in and be like, it's raining.
Yeah,
it's
Jackie,
Florida.
I can't control the weather.
And they'll be like, well, make it stop. Because people think that, some people genuinely think there is a dome that Disney built above the park.
Yeah.
And they can shut the weather off.
Well, people genuinely say that about the festival. So we have the outdoor theater, the Ingolstadt Theater, right? And it's outdoors. And they're like, what happens if it rains? And I'm like, well, it's outside, so you'll probably get rained on. They're like, it doesn't have a roof. And it's like, no, it's outside.
It's the joy of outdoor theater.
I know. You want to see some outdoor theater, you might get rained on.
Come on. Hello, everyone. My name is Ian Allred, and I am a Gleek.
Hey, what's up, you guys? My name is Lena Knetzer, and I don't work customer service anymore, and I'm a Gleek. I might later. I actually really like customer service jobs.
Can't relate. I love a job. Where I don't have to talk to anyone.
Oh, no, I hear that.
You know, there were a lot of things I didn't like about being a DoorDash driver, but the fact that I would work, 8-hour shifts and the most communication I'd have with a human being was when I'd be like, hey, I have an order for so-and-so, and they'd hand it to me.
Yeah.
That was a dream.
Oof, so good.
I'd just drop it on a doorstep, take a picture, and leave. Come on. Incredible. I would just drive around my car singing You Oughta Know by Alanis Morissette.
Classic. Ooh, remember back in the day in our podcast when you were DoorDash driving and you were telling us all about that?
I truly just did that.
Oh, yeah?
I was just in the car. Singing Alanis Morissette.
Mm-hmm. What were you
singing
doing?
You Ought to Know. I was getting Chipotle because the Chipotle just opened up in this town.
You didn't think to ask your best friend Lena if she wanted Chipotle?
She's kidding. What? Very sorry.
I know, I'm kidding.
But this is my third time going in a week because it just opened
Chipotle
and
just
I
opened.
Missed it.
No, totally. I've gone twice.
And I truly put it on. I was driving with a coworker of ours. And I put on You I Don't Know just for kicks. And then I got so into it that he stopped singing and just stared at me. And then took his phone out and started filming me. Which honestly was just encouraging me to go harder.
Exactly. You've done that with me with Taylor Swift. It really happens.
Yeah, you see a phone come out and you're like, well, now I gotta commit.
Yeah, it's literally. Now it's documented. A performance. I didn't realize.
Yeah, I may have given myself nodes, but it was worth it.
Oh, shit.
Heck yeah.
Love it.
Well.
You ready to talk about, what is this? Hold on, a 17, whatever the hell it's
16,
called.
16, but you got
Sheesh.
It.
Sheesh. Well, that's, none of these kids are 16.
True.
Wild.
The characters or the actors?
May I give you some glacks?
Oh, I would love that.
Oh yeah, it's time for the glacks.
So Hold On to 17, not 16, just kidding. Hold On to 16 is the 8th episode of Glee's 3rd season and the 52nd episode overall. It premiered on December 6th, 2011. This episode was directed by Bradley Booker? What the hell did we say it was?
Becker.
Hear me out.
Bradley, we've mispronounced your name every single time you've directed an episode.
Yeah, sorry. For people at home who want to know what else he's directed such things as Never Been Kissed, Come Back, Original Song, and also Funeral.
Come Back!
And then it was written by Ross Maxwell. Alrighty, let me tell you about the songs in this episode. We've got Red Solo Cup, originally by Toby Keith, performed by Sam Evans and the New Directions. This is the second song that's ever been performed about cups on Glee. Loves that.
That's a very important statistic. Every time I see any show, I'm like, but how many songs about cups are there going to be?
I keep a count.
It's the most important topic.
I agree.
It's like songs about like romance, love, sex, you know, like all those. Mm-hmm. And then like songs about revenge, songs about sadness, songs about cups.
Of course.
Those are like the top four song genres.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. It's truly, you know how like humans like want, like need like food, shelter, water.
Cups. Yes.
Where are you going to put the fucking water?
Yeah, exactly.
In the cup.
Your hands. What are you, a caveman?
I know. Sheesh.
Red Solo Cup. Come on.
I know.
Let's have a party because we can drink water.
More songs about cups. There's only been two. We're on season 3. Yeah, episode honestly, 52.
What? They've done like 305 songs now and only two of them are about cups?
I'd like to speak to their manager.
Honestly, I feel like I'm not a part of the cup community, but I have enough friends who are cups that I feel like I'm qualified to speak on their behalf.
Absolutely.
And on behalf of the cup community, it is offensive that only two songs have been about cups.
I know. And none of them have been about menstrual cups.
Yeah, exactly. Where Diva Cup Erasure.
I know.
Galena Cup.
I use that one.
Let's get a Lena Cup song in here. Come on.
Oh my God. The next song is Buenos Aires from Evita, performed by the Unitards, specifically including our freaking girl, Elphaba herself, Harmony. What's her name?
Lindsay Pierce,
thank you. This is the second song. This is the second and last song that Harmony is going to sing on Glee. Rest in peace. We love you, girl. And this is the fourth reference to the musical Evita that the show has made so far. I think it's the second song.
Oh, they've just like the
fourth
talked
reference.
About.
And okay. That's what it says. I'm surprised it doesn't say second song. Fourth.
Yeah.
Whoever writes these, I mean, it's a sacred text. Sorry. I shouldn't talk down on the sacred text.
Yeah, that's blasphemy.
Yeah. Up next, we have Survivor/I Will Survive, originally by Destiny's Child / Gloria Gaynor, respectively, performed by the Trouble Tones. Let me tell you some glacks about this. This is the first competition where the girls have tied their hair back. I don't.
Oh.
I also don't know how true that is. They had headbands in one of them.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone's ever had a ponytail.
Yeah, but they don't. They only have half ponytails.
I love the phrase. There's still a hair tie in there.
The name, the words ponytail, it scratches my brain. What was the other one? I was thinking about a word that scratched my brain yesterday. Oh, concrete. Ooh, doesn't that just scratch your brain? So good. Concrete. Say it.
Oh,
so
you mean that as a positive?
Yes.
Oh, I did. I thought it was a negative.
No, good. Concrete.
Concrete?
Ooh! Concrete. Ooh! I can't.
Sure.
In the first chorus, the Trouble Tones dance the tango. The fact that Santani and Brittany have a relationship, makes it gain prominence. This moment became known as the Britango. This is the first and only time Sugar Mata has a solo in a competition.
What?
I know.
What? What? Good for you, Sugar. For we you, hear Sugar. You. Come on, Vanessa.
It like immediately brings me back to like being in junior high and getting like a small solo like that and thinking I was the bomb. You know what I mean? Oh, gosh.
My sophomore year of high school, got a solo on Mr. Blue Sky where I sang, "Please tell us why." And I was like, I cannot let my choir director down. No,
totally.
I have got to land these four words.
Please tell us why.
And you know what?
How'd it go?
I don't know.
Sure.
Honestly, the performance was really bad because this was Height of Glee. It was 2011, spring of 2011. So end of season two, Height of Glee. We were doing this a cappella rendition of Mr. Blue Sky. I may have already told the story from the Sing Off, which was an a cappella competition show on NBC. Was a direct result of Glee. Mm-hmm. So we were doing that a cappella version and we did a lot of a cappella arrangements. So that was fine. And then like 2 weeks before the concert, my teacher was like, "What if we add choreography?" And this was not a show choir.
Schuster?
Exactly. This was not a show choir. Yeah. Dancing was not part of the audition process to get into this choir. So most of the kids could not dance. And adding choreography into it was A, embarrassing because we were bad at it, and B, because a lot of the kids weren't dancers, it took away from their focus on their vocals.
So
all the harmony started going out of pitch.
Of course.
All I remember about that performance is someone in the front row laughing. So not my proudest moment.
Oof. Hopefully they weren't laughing at you. Honestly, it literally went, "Please tell us why," and they went,
"Are you kidding me?
Like, who is this joker?
Boo! Get him off the stage!
Boo!" Another glax about this song.
Please tell me it.
Idina Menzel and Jenna Oshkowitz covered "I Will Survive" at a Broadway karaoke night.
Ooh.
Ooh, in Los Angeles on the 5th of April, 2015. There's a video of it on the internet.
What is that?
The internet?
Yeah.
I made it up.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
I'll
cool.
tell you more about it later.
Okay, cool.
All right, and then we have ABC, originally by the Jackson 5, performed by the Nude Erection. What? Why do I keep saying it like that? Nude Erections. I keep doing a Lea Michele, but I keep wanting to say Nude Erections, but I keep changing it to New Directions in the middle.
Yes.
So I keep saying New Directions. Nude Erections.
You know what I hate?
I love myself. I hate me.
When you're, when you're in junior high, you're like 13 years old, your hormones are great and going crazy.
Yeah.
And then the teacher calls on you to go in front of the class and you just have an erection for no reason.
That's an unfortunate erection.
My unfortunate erection.
Has that happened to you?
Yes.
I
would be shocked, if there was a person who has a penis who that has not happened to.
Really?
Yes.
That's really what puberty is. Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't want to get into TMIs.
No, totally.
But when you are of those ages, it does not matter. It's not because, like, obviously, when you're going through puberty, you're just like kind of horny because, like, that's your body's freaking out. But it's not linked to like you thinking about sex. Mm-hmm. Literally, just like you sit down for too long and your body's like, okay. And you could be thinking about anything. It's terrible. It's awful.
Ew.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Not ew. That's a natural ball. So, ew.
It's beautiful. It's a part of life.
Sorry. Any hoosers? ABC. This is the first competition number that features Mike as like a singing soloist. This is the first out of two times that Tina sings lead in a competition. I won't tell you what the other one is.
Oh, I already know and I already hate it.
I don't want to fucking say it.
It's really bad. Everyone
and both
buckle
songs
up.
Are in sectionals.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of them are any higher than that. This is the first competition that Rory is in. Woo!
Woo!
And then we have control, my control, control of what I say, control of what I do. And this time I'm going to do it my way. Originally by Janet Jackson.
Honestly, originally by Quinfa Bray. She delivered that monologue like it was her own words.
I know. I've thought about bringing that in for a monologue because she just did it so powerfully.
For real.
This is originally by Quinfa Bray. Let me give you some clacks about this. This is the first New Directions competition where Blaine has a solo. Woo! This is also the first number that Blaine sings a solo in like with the New Directions.
Oh.
Yeah. Because they haven't been letting him sing.
Yeah, because he always, I mean, they have. Let's not get that wrong. No, totally. But yeah, every group number has been like a Finchel feature.
Exactly. I'm starting with the man in the mirror, originally by Michael Jackson, performed by the New Directions, obviously. Let me give you some clacks about this one. This is the first performance led by all boys for like a competition.
Did we need that?
And it also happens again. So, cool. It happens in the episode All or Nothing. So,
what is
the song Hall of Fame?
I think I know what that is.
So,
okay.
And then to end out the episode, we have We Are Young by Fun featuring Janelle Monae, performed by the New Directions, plus the girls that we've been missing. This song is Rachel's 100th solo in a performance. Mm-hmm. Like solo, like not her solo, but solo in a song.
Yeah. And like 100th also feature. To just revisit this fact.
Yes.
We hit the 300th number overall 2 episodes ago.
I know. That's a third of them.
Yeah.
I know.
My gosh.
Yeah. Wild. This song reached number 1 on the iTunes US charts. The cloud backdrop that they used was also used in The Dog Days Are Over in season 2 in the episode Special Education, which was also a post-sectional celebratory number. This song had over 455,000 digital downloads in the US, making it the 7th best selling Glee song of all time.
Oh.
I know, interesting, dang. Right? This song peaked at number 12 on the US Billboard Hot 100 charts. This Glee cover is widely recognized for being responsible for introducing Fun's original version to the mainstream.
Oh.
I know. I don't think I thought that. I would have put that together because that song is just so popular.
Yeah.
Jack Antonoff, you know.
I feel like I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know the timeline of which one I heard first, but I feel like I heard the Fun version first.
I don't know.
But I don't have like receipts. Even still, I
do remember like 2012, that song was everywhere.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm not sure though. Let's get a time machine.
Yeah.
Let's go back.
Let's go ask Ian and Lena in like November of 2011. Be like, perfect. Have you heard this song before?
I'll be like, that's all the songs. Let me give you the rest of the glacks. The title refers to Sam's favorite lyric in a John Mellencamp song, Jack and Diane, which he said to Quinn, it's hold on to 16 as long as you can, which is wild to me because this song this episode is named after this song, but they don't sing it.
Yeah.
Weird.
Little pink houses for you and me.
That's the only John Mellencamp we've had so far.
For you and me.
Fitting with the episode's theme of age and maturity, the New Directions set list for sectionals chronologically covers a lifespan, says Glee Wiki. Childhood with ABC, young adulthood with Control, and adulthood with Man in the Mirror.
Oh, sure. That is so pretentious.
No.
Or it just captures all the three Jackson singing groups.
That's what I thought it was. Is I thought it was a Michael Jackson song, a Janet Jackson song, and then a Jackson 5 song. Yeah. That's what I thought it was.
I think that is a
reach. I think it's super a reach. And like, I see what they're saying.
And they're like, when I was a child, I lived as a child. I sang ABCs by Jackson 5.
When I was a teen, I yearned for Control.
Now that I'm a man, I put away childish things. I sing Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson.
I look in the mirror. Exactly. This was one of the 3 episodes submitted for the 2012 Emmys, the other 2 being Agent F and Yes/No. Interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
When the Survivor I Will Survive performance was originally uploaded early to the Glee Vivo channel before the channel got deleted. So remember the other day I said like something got deleted?
Yeah.
The Glee Vivo channel is now not a thing anymore. The performance was slightly longer. The performance opened with all the treble tones backs facing the audience before they all spun around one after the other. This was while you hear the opening to the song just before Santana sings the first line. However, in the episode, this part was cut and you can hear the opening music to the song during the end of Shelby and Quinn's scene prior to the performance. So that's really cool. This episode contains the most amount of the songs that Quinn has sung in a single episode, which is 4, which feels kind of weird because she truly like, I mean, I know she has solos, but it's not enough.
Yeah.
Like, she has, like a background line in Red Solo Cup. She has her, like, monologue in Control. And she, like, has a solo in ABC.
Not arithmetic are the branches of the learning tree. That's it.
Yeah, literally. And then I think does she have something in Fun? The Fun Song?
She has, like, 2 lines in Tonight.
Yeah. So, 4. Interesting, right? Yeah,
it adds to about 45 seconds of her singing.
Oh, my gosh. This competition in the episode is the only time Rachel doesn't participate in her high school career, like performing in a competition. So fun.
Fun period.
Fun period. Featuring Jack Antonoff. this is the second time that Rachel doesn't sing in a set list for a competition. The first time being 2010 sectionals. When the New Directions are celebrating their victory, Artie is clapping and you can see Kevin McHale's tattoo.
Oh,
I know. Rory is the only member of New Directions that doesn't sing in this episode. Every other person has a solo, other than the band members, obviously. Mm-hmm. This is the only competition set list to have more than one song performed by the same group / artist / musical. And that's the Jacksons.
Yeah.
However, it can be argued that it isn't, since Janet Jackson was an original member of the group, but was later a member. So.
But you still have Man in the Mirror and ABC.
I know.
Which are both Michael.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, like, they don't even mention in the episode that they're doing, like, a Jackson's tribute.
I know.
Tribute.
It's weird that I was so like, was weird. This a theme? Were you supposed to, like, do a shout-out to the Jacksons? Like, what's up?
I don't know. I can't really tell. Wild. But that's the end of your Glax, baby!
Ooh! All right.
I'm almost 17. I did what people told me.
This is a story about recap. My recap of this episode of Glee. I don't remember how the rest of the monologue goes. Here's what you missed on Glee. It's sectionals 3, New Directions versus the Trouble Tones, and Rachel's banned from competing. Finchel convinces Sam, who has become a stripper, to transfer back to McKinley and rejoin the Glee Club. Tina tries to convince Mike's dad to be supportive of his dream of being a dancer. Quinn plans on reporting Shelby for sleeping with Puck. At the competition, Mike's dad comes to see him perform and the New Directions win. Shelby resigns, Mike's dad tells him he'll support him going to school for dance, and Quinn convinces Santana, Mercedes, and Brittany to rejoin the New Directions along with Sugar. And that's what you missed on Glee!
When I was 17, I did what people told me.
I love that freaking song.
It's very good.
I love Janet Jackson, truly. All right, Ian.
All right, Lena.
Give me a quick thought. What did you feel about this? How did you feel about this episode?
It was good.
Okay.
But did not live up to the hype of sectionals past.
I hear you.
What about you?
I love this episode. And listen, it fills me with more rage than I can even explain to you. But I like seeing all these kids get a solo. Seeing Tina front an entire song. Seeing Mike do it with her.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot even deal. There were like 4 times in this episode I cried because it was just like so lovely. And it's just like, I feel like this episode is totally quintessential Glee to me.
Mm-hmm.
I love this episode. Obviously there are like several sore thumbs in the episode we'll talk about, but even still, I think it's got the highest highs and the lowest lows. And I love that in my Glee episodes. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah. I like it a lot more than like, you know, regional season two.
Yeah.
Like, totally. I still really, really, really like this episode. I just truly think sectional season one is like...
You can't beat it.
It's hard to replicate that.
No.
And then season two, I don't know. Maybe I do like it as much as season two, because what I really like about season two is that they spread the love around, and mm-hmm. you're so right, they spread the love around in this one too. Frankly, I think I just don't like Man in the Mirror.
No, absolutely.
And that's the final song.
I know. I think they should have like kept it at the two songs.
Yeah.
Because ABC is incredible. Control is incredible. But yeah. Man in the Mirror is weird. And it like, I feel like as an audience member, it would be weird to watch. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't stand up to the rest of the competition. Yeah. Like, truly, I think the sore thumb in the episode is Man in the Mirror, like... several sore thumbs, obviously, but one of them is Man in the Mirror would not have won those sectionals.
No.
And like, I think the first two numbers are very good.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think they're better than the Treble Tones? I don't think so. Do I think they're better than the Unitards? Not really, but I do fucking love it. You know, I don't know.
My note. When the New Directions won, I put, this competition was rigged. What were the Treble Tones' other two numbers? Them farting into a megaphone?
Seriously, it makes no sense.
Because how did they lose?
They couldn't have.
It's ridiculous. We talked about this
on our episode about this with on Gleek of the Week.
Gleek of the Week. Mm-hmm. 100% the reason that they usually in competitions only show one song by the competing groups is so that when the New Directions win, they always have the excuse of like,
you didn't see the rest of it.
The other numbers weren't that good.
Yeah.
Because I love ABC.
Yes.
I think it is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I think I Will Survive / Survivor is better.
Yes.
But I mean, they farted in a microphone
for
2 minutes afterwards, so I guess the judges had to give them second place.
And then the next 4 minutes, they spent calling the judges mean names.
Yeah. And it got, like, really personal.
Yeah.
And also, like, weirdly sexist. And it was like, yeah, you're all like, women. And they were, like, really going after the two female judges.
I know. It's like...
Like, really reductive.
I know.
And, like, let's have women building each other up, not women tearing each other
and
down.
And that's why they got second.
Yeah,
you know, because they got to teach them a lesson.
Yeah. They were like, uh-oh. We know that if we put you up there, you're going to pull that ladder right up with you.
Yeah, you're not going to help us up.
Exactly. We want a group who's going to uplift other people.
Exactly.
Wow, honestly, the Treble Tones are canceled.
And hear me. Yes, they are. Sorry, cancel the Treble Tones. Hashtag death of... Hashtag Treble Tones are over party. Death to all of them. You know, truly, when the New Directions win, it is misogynistic, to say the least. They have a group full of boys who do mm-hmm. a mediocre job
mm-hmm.
versus a group full of women who do the fucking most.
Truly, that is Man in the Mirror. Is being
it
like,
is.
Wow, these boys are mediocre.
They are.
Which is unfair because they're not all mediocre. No. Like, Cory Monteith's dancing, he's trying his best. Truly, what I'm trying to say is that Puck is very mediocre.
I hate him. His like little solo and he's doing the worm.
It's
like,
so
I'm
bad.
Kill him.
It is so bad. I can't describe it.
Like Puck is a silly goose. Oh my gosh. Why is he such a silly dancer?
Like I think I wouldn't have liked this number that much anyway, because my whole thing is like, it's show choir.
Yeah.
Like where's the show? And I love Man in the Mirror.
Yes.
That
song is beautiful.
Yeah. But I love Man in the Mirror. Like a person is alone on stage singing it. Like if I'm coming to a show choir competition, like, I want to see a show. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see five dudes standing in a line.
No.
But I still think I would have liked it fine. But man, the second Puck comes in with his solo,
I know.
He like
it's over.
Sounds weird. And like you said, he's like dancing all stupid. I hate it.
No, I truly hate it.
I want off this ride.
Well, let's hop onto a different ride.
Great.
Let's break down the
episode.
I have
my tickets ready.
Yeah. How do you want to break it down?
I think we should do our normal competition format, which
cool.
is before, during, and after.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about before.
Okay. Let's talk about Sam. Right off the bat, let's talk about Sam.
Off the bat, how the hell is this underage person working in a strip club? I'd like to know. No one says a word mm-hmm. about him being a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone is like, you're too good for this, blah, 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 which also, like, fuck you guys, like, whatever. And second of all, he is a child.
I know. That's the thing, is I keep being like, oh, working at the strip club, you're throwing your life away. And I'm like, but the main concern is that it's because he's 16.
Yes.
The fact that he's a stripper at 16 is the main concern here.
Like, we shouldn't be concerned about him throwing his life away. We should be concerned that, how did he get this job? Mm-hmm. Who is taking advantage of him? Like, mm-hmm. what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
Like, there are... Wait, whoa, like, what the hell? Shoot. I'm glad he's back. I've missed him. Literally last episode, I was like, I miss Sam. A small hiatus, only 8 episodes.
Yeah. I love Cordova Street for straight up calling these writers on their bluff.
I know.
That he was like, I want to be a recurring character. And they were like, sorry, we can't offer that to you right now. And he was like, okay, then bye. And then 8 episodes later, they're like, okay, Cord, you can be a recurring character.
Totally. And like, there wasn't any glacks about it, but I assume that that's what happened, where he was like, okay, cool, then I'm walking from the show. And then they were like, no, we miss him. Because I think Sam adds like such a cool dynamic to the club, you know? He can be silly when Finn can't be silly, when Finn is too busy being a homophobe.
So when Cordova Street left Glee because he wanted to be a recurring character and they said no, he was like, okay, fine. I'm just going to go focus on my music. And he left and just like worked on his music career, which Cordova Street is like a legitimate musical artist. He just had a new single drop called Sunkissed. You should go check it out on Spotify. Yeah. Anyways, but it sounds like from this interview, he essentially just like was working on music, and then he always kind of had it in his mind that he would like to come back to Glee if they made him the offer that he had asked for in the first place. And then they just were like, hey, would you be interested in coming back to the show? We can make you a recurring character. And he was like, okay, yeah, I'll come back. So it seems like it wasn't very dramatic. It was just kind of like he called them on their bluff. He was like, cool, I'm not going to be on the show. And if I'm not a series regular, I'll focus on other stuff. And then they did a few episodes and were like, oh, we could use Sam in this show. Do you want to be a series regular?
Love it.
Yeah.
I strive to have that kind of like determination and like confidence in myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that like you feel like you can.
Yeah. Instead of, you know, where like if you sneeze at work, you're like, I'm going to apologize or they're going to fire me.
Yeah, totally. Or like someone mistreats you at work and you're like, I'm not going to tell anyone because I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, man. Go you, Cordova Street. Happy to have you back.
What's weird about Sam coming back is he truly has not even been mentioned since the first episode.
I know.
The first episode, they're like, Sam transferred. No one has spoken his name since. And then all of a sudden in this episode, Finn is like, Will, I keep telling ya, we gotta have Sam in the club. I've been really thinking about the people we have in the club, and what's missing is Sam Evans.
Is like, that blonde guy? Get him back.
Where was this energy 8 weeks ago? Why is this just happening now?
It feels silly. And also, the silliest thing about this all to me is they like need him back, right? And they're like, we're not going to win without Sam. Mm-hmm. The man has one solo in the entire competition.
He does the Bernie. And do you think they would have won if he didn't do the Bernie?
What is the Bernie?
It's the move he does where it was really big when we were in high school. He doesn't fully do the Bernie. He does a little like body roll situation.
Am I wrong? I thought it was the Ernie.
I think I looked it up because I didn't want to embarrass myself. I looked up the Bernie and that's what came up. Yeah, the Bernie lean.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I didn't even know what you were talking about, so that makes sense. Oh, so he won it for him, and he did his body roll.
Did you see that clown stood up and he did the Bernie with him? He said, I don't care. Those misogynists who just did I Will Survive don't have my vote. The guy who did the Bernie has my vote.
Has my vote. Oh, my gosh.
I am a feminist first and foremost, a clown second, and a Bernie enthusiast third.
Dude, that's me. You just described myself. Yeah. I'm happy to have Sam back. And listen, you know me. I have a burning love for my Sam Sadies.
Hunk of burning love?
Seriously. Uh-huh. I love Shane. Heart Shane. Love you, Shane, forever. But Sam and Mercedes, Woof. Maybe it's one of my favorite ships on this entire show. I just think they are so cute together. Like him like yelling across the hallway to her and her like smiling and blushing. I was like, I love it.
Yeah. No, it's great to have Sam back.
I know. I love him.
He's wonderful.
I really like Sam. I think Cordova Street is a cute guy.
I've said this before, but you know who else really likes Sam? My mom.
Your mom?
Woohoo! She loves Sam Evans.
I love that. My mom doesn't watch Glee or listen to my podcast.
Do you want to talk about Red Solo Cup? Let's have a final.
Truthfully, I don't know how you feel about this song. But they did this song for why?
Because Cordova Street was back and they knew they weren't going to give him a solo at sectionals.
But like, why this song?
I don't know.
I really don't like it. Like, it is a snooze fest to me. And I understand, like, oh, it's a celebration song, but I'm like so snored. I'm so bored.
No, I think it truly is because Cordova Street is like kind of a country music guy. And so they were trying to do like, oh, it's a style of music that like you like.
There
and
are
that
so
would
many
be fun.
Fun country songs that are not Red Solo Cup.
Name one. Honky Tonk Badonkadonk.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yes. Yes, I can.
She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Yeah. Well, I think this song was pretty big in 2011. So maybe that's probably why they did it. But like, you do this for what?
No,
I'm so bored by it.
It's dumb.
Happy to have Sam back. How did the sparkling cider pop like that? That's what I want to know. My God.
I love how like, do these writers know that we know these characters are in choir. They can just sing a song. We'll be okay with it. Mm-hmm. They don't need to be like, no, but actually it's because they have Red Solo Cups. But actually the yes. reason this song is in the episode is because they're drinking cider with Red Solo Cups. So that's why we're singing Red Solo Cup.
Yes.
Like, no, Sam could have just been like, it's great to be back. Here's a song I've been working on and
yeah, totally.
I will be fine with
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
It's so dumb.
Yeah, it is so dumb. And it's like, ugh, I don't like this number. Happy to have Sam back. And I usually really love a number where they're like it together celebrating, but I was just like, this song is a snore. I don't like it.
I will say, as someone who loathes pre-recorded dialogue,
yeah,
Cordova Street does a great job.
He does.
Like, I was forgetting that it was pre-recorded. It seemed very natural.
Yeah.
So shout out to him. Good job.
Totally.
Let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
I also really like at the end of this number when Santana comes in because she heard that Sam is back. And I love the concept that she has this like essentially little black book, even though it's red.
Yes.
Where she has just been writing insults that come to her mind.
I know.
Don't love that they're all about how Cordova Street just looks as a person.
Yeah, literally.
But the concept of Santana, literally like he transferred schools. She never thought she'd see him again. But she was like, just in case I ever see Sam Evans again.
I gotta get this out of my system.
Yeah, she's like, here's some ideas I have. The best one is I haven't seen a smile that big since the claymation abominable snowman got his teeth pulled by that little gay elf dentist.
I also love that Sam, instead of like being hurt by it, is just like, I missed you too.
Yeah,
and like gives her a
he's
big
like touched
hug.
By it.
I'm so sweet. Oh. It's like, you know, when you leave your friends and you even miss them being like terrible, like assholes to you and just like annoying. And you're like, oh gosh, so good. I love that part.
Also, what's weird about this scene is Sam walks in and, you know, everyone, it's their old classmate and they love Sam. They're all excited to see him. No one is more excited than Rory Flanagan. Why does he care?
You're right.
He is like so ecstatic to see Sam walk into the room. No one has spoken about Sam since Pot of Gold.
No.
So Rory has never even heard this man's name.
Huh.
Why is he so pumped about this?
Weird. I didn't even notice that.
He's mostly just excited about the Red Solo Cups.
Totally. He's like, oh my God, I love sparkling cider. Who doesn't?
He's like, are we about to do a song about cups? About time.
I know.
I've been
he's
waiting.
Like, I've been begging to
like,
do a song about cups.
Every day I go to Mr. Schuster and I'm like, here's another song about cups.
Yeah.
The cup song from Pitch Perfect that won't come out until next year. Uh-huh. We should do it.
Seriously. What the hell?
Gosh.
You know what I do love?
What?
Mike getting up, tripping over his chair to run to Sam. So sweet.
Oh, that is very sweet.
I love it. Great Mike episode.
A fantastic Mike episode.
Holy shit. A great Mike episode.
I'm not done talking about cups. I'm so sorry.
Okay, sorry.
I have my priorities straight.
Okay, sorry.
I have to mention Glee Wiki Sacred Text is wrong. This is the third cup song because they sang Raise Your Glass.
You're right.
Glee Wiki, you lied to us.
I'll go in and change it. Can I do that?
That's honestly, like a whole I don't know.
Right?
I have no idea. Okay. If it's a wiki, probably.
If it's a wiki.
Let's talk about Mike.
Ah, I love Mike Chang.
I love you, Mike Chang.
I love you, Mike Chang. Wow. Okay. So listen. I love Mike Chang so much. How do I even begin to talk about this? I love this arc of like Mike wanting his dad back more than wanting his dreams,
mm-hmm.
and then realizing he can have both, mm-hmm. and like Tina, you know, overstepping definitely and him calling her out, and then things ending up being okay. I love it. Sign me up. I'm here for it. You know what I mean? I'm obsessed with this plot. I think it's so sweet. When they almost break up, I'm in tears. Tell me about it.
The breakup was weird to me because it was, I understand like when she went to his dad's office, mm-hmm. and talked to him, that's when I can see like Mike getting really pissed about it because that was a huge overstep. But the almost breakup happens before then.
Yeah.
Where she is just like, hey, Mike, I think you should like really consider doing what you're passionate about. And he's like, Tina, if you don't let this go, we're breaking up. It was very 0 to 100. It came out of nowhere.
I hear that. But I also feel like I also feel like I'm a really stubborn person.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when people are like, Lena, you need to do this, I want to do it less.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like if they keep pressuring me about it and they're like getting in my face about it, I'm like, never speak to me again. How about, you know? And it's like, it's like always dumb stuff where it's like my mom's calling me and she's like, you need to go grocery shopping. And I'm like, Mom, absolutely, bye. Like, you know, where it's like, I understand that stubbornness and I understand like the, you know, where Mike's coming from, I think a little bit in that situation.
Yeah. Mm. Also, regional season 2 has forever ruined the phrase, get it right for me.
Get it.
Because Tina is trying to convince Mike to do what he loves. And she says, you only have one life, Mike. One chance to get it right.
That's why she sang it like that.
She did. And then she did the whole song, and then Ryan Murphy, it went on his desk, and he said, Jenna Ushkowitz is supposed to sing? No, cut it. Cut the whole thing.
Totally.
Cut the whole thing.
Ugh. Damn it.
Oh, this goes a little into Quinn's stuff later.
Mm.
So, like, we know that Mike wants to be a dancer.
Yes.
And then Tina goes and talks to Mike's dad, and he's like, do you want to be a performer? And she's like, yes, it's what I was born to do. And then at the very end of the episode, Quinn is talking to Rachel, and she's like, I think I might go to Yale because they have a really good drama program. Why do all of these kids want to be performers? That's, like, it's just, like, so weird to me.
Yeah.
That I'm like, none of you are just doing this as like a fun hobby.
I think that would be a cool thing to like a cool dynamic to try in the club as well, where it's like, no, I just like it, you know?
Yeah.
Especially because in high school, you're like, most people are just doing it because it's fun and to hang out with their friends.
And like, hear me out. I'm pro, like, you know, if you want to be a performer, go for it. I mean, obviously we're both actors.
Are we?
No. We've been gaslighting our listeners. Mm.
Could you imagine?
I actually work at a Pizza Hut.
Crime of the century.
That'd be the crime of the century. Crime of the century.
But we've bribed the Utah Shakespeare Festival to like put up our photos and stuff.
Yeah. But like, it's so bizarre to me that like every single kid in this club wants so badly to be a performer. And because I did choir in high school and like 80% of the kids in there were like, I don't know, I needed an extracurricular and this sounded fun enough.
Yeah, totally.
They had like no ambition to do it beyond high school.
It's like, oh, I have to get an arts credit. Like, yeah.
And it's like freaking Quinn, which I mean, most of who Quinn was when this show started was put on her by her parents. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand that. But I haven't seen anything from her that makes me believe that like she wants to be an actor.
Yeah.
It feels very forced and very out of left field.
Yeah.
And Tina, I haven't seen anything from her either, but that's mostly because I haven't seen anything from Tina, period, because they never give her
anything. I don't know her hopes and dreams.
Exactly. Tina could have been like, my dream is to be a sewage worker. And I would have been like, honestly, sure. I have nothing to disprove that.
I don't know shit about you at this point.
Seriously, anything about you could be true. We haven't established anything about your character.
Seriously. You had a stutter in season one, but then you didn't have a stutter. And then you were goth, but now you're not goth.
And now you dress like 60s mod.
And you have this boyfriend who's a beautiful dancer. That's all I know about you, girl.
Yeah, whatever. Sure.
Sure. If my partner did this, I would be so pissed at them. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Went to my parents. Oh, mm-hmm. My gosh. I'd be so pissed. I'm glad it worked out for the best, though. Like, she sent in, like, college applications for him.
She straight up pulled a Miss Darbus on him.
That is illegal.
She said, I sent in the Juilliard application myself. I'm sorry if I overstepped.
Could you imagine?
You just seem very at home up there. Okay, do you want to talk about the competition?
I do, but I think we should talk about... Everyone, let's talk about the Puck and Quinn and the Rachel.
Oh, yeah.
Before. So we have this thing. Quinn now has this information about Quinn and Shelby, and she's on a rampage to report Shelby. Mm-hmm. And Rachel fucking Barry finds out about it and is like, this is a bad idea. This is not the right thing to do. I know what it's like to do the bad thing, and you are doing it. You are doing the bad thing right now. And everyone is like, so up in Quinn's face about her being like, this is her hitting rock bottom. This is blah, 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 blah. And like, I understand where they're coming from when it's like, yeah, this is Shelby, Beth's mom. Like, she needs a job. But also, Shelby's the one who fucking made the mistake, mm-hmm. not Quinn. Mm-hmm. It bugs the fuck out of me. I don't understand. And like, Rachel is like, why are you trying to protect this woman? She's done nothing for you. And it's like, the way that everyone talks to Quinn in this episode pisses me off. Like, even before the competition, when Quinn goes in to talk to Shelby, and Shelby's like, I know what it's like to be young. Like, you're making a young, foolish decision. And it's like, oh my God, why is no one talking about Puck in this situation? Why isn't anyone talking about how Puck is being taken advantage of? Like, why is everyone saying that Quinn is the bad person for, like, seeing this wrong? Huh? Silly. What do you think?
The whole show frames this as, like, Quinn is doing the wrong thing, mm-hmm. because she is going to report Shelby for being a sexual predator.
Yes.
And it is so wild to me. And the second that Quinn decides not to do it is supposed to be like, finally, Quinn is learning and growing. Mm-hmm. No. And like, Rachel even has that conversation with Quinn where she's like, if you're going to do it, at least talk to Shelby first.
I know.
Which, like, I can see where Rachel's coming from with that, but also you don't need to. If you hear that your teacher is sexually abusing one of your classmates,
yes.
you absolutely do not need to talk to the teacher about it. You can 100% just report them.
Yes.
It is so, so dumb. Also, Rachel says to Quinn, which you kind of mentioned this, where she's like, I just got a taste of what it's like to do the wrong thing. And it felt awful. Bitch, you just got the taste of doing the wrong thing? A year ago, you sent a girl to a crack house.
You literally, like, Rachel, you're not a good person.
You stuffing the ballots is like low on the totem pole of bad things that you have done.
You could go to federal prison for that, you know? Like, come on.
For stuffing the ballots, it's a high school
I'm saying on like a bigger level. Yes, like, this is like a real good election. Practice.
Yes, yes, yes.
I know it's not. I know she's not going to go to jail for it. But I mean, like, if she did this in a real election. Yeah. That's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Silly. And like, oh my God. Rachel says this thing to Quinn where she's like, this is a pretty hefty accusation to make, Quinn. And it's like almost like she doesn't fully believe Quinn for saying that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, come on. Who are you, Rachel?
She really said gaslight gatekeep girl boss.
She truly did.
She said, I don't believe victims. I think Puck is lying to you.
Mom.
She did. Honestly, real Shelby peeking through.
Another thing that bothers me about this scene, and maybe this is just like, I feel weird about the term real mom really mm-hmm. bothers me. Because Rachel gets in Quinn's face and she's like, she's her real mom. And it's like, Quinn is not imaginary. Like, Quinn's her biological mom and, like, not necessarily her mother or, like, whatever way that, like, mom, mother, like, you know, she's obviously not the one raising her. But it's also, like, that doesn't mean that Quinn is, like, an irrelevant being, you know? I just hate the term real mom. You know what I mean?
I see where you're coming from. And I also, like, in this instance, am like, Shelby is toxic and terrible and also Quinn should report this.
Yes.
But coming from Rachel, who, like, has two dads, one of which is not her biological dad.
Yes.
And her biological mom has been so awful to her and not wanted a relationship. I can see that for Rachel, it's like,
yeah, no,
my
totally.
Dads are
sense.
My real parents.
Yes.
Shelby is not my real parent.
That, and it makes sense yeah. coming from her for sure.
And like,
you're
just
right.
because you gave birth to Beth does not mean you have any claim of her. Shelby is the one who is like raising her and taking care
something.
Of her.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
Also, the scene where Quinn and Shelby are talking, Quinn is so confrontational in this scene that it made me laugh. It is like, girl, take a deep breath. Like, just take a few seconds. Where Shelby is like, I know what it's like to be young. And Quinn goes, don't talk down to me. And then she's like, Shelby's like, you won't be young forever. One day you'll wake up and things will just feel different. And then Quinn goes, I can't wait to feel different. Like, let's calm down. Let's take a few deep breaths. Oh my gosh. But also, Shelby, you know, she tells Quinn, I'm going to end it with Puck. And then she says, not that there's much it to end. You fully
you
had
sex.
You
did it.
It's not like, oh, I flirted with one of my students, which is super inappropriate.
Yeah.
But she's like, but nothing physical actually happened. We just flirted. No, like, not only did you kiss one of your students, you fully had sex with him.
And
not much more it can happen
and
there.
And also, that along with Puck went to the hospital
mm-hmm.
to help with Beth.
Yeah.
Like, that's his biological kid. That is like, that would freak a person up.
Yeah.
You know, and he was like, I think he was like fully convinced that he was going to like be a part of Beth's life.
Mm-hmm.
And Shelby entertained that.
Yeah.
Hello. I hate the show.
Oh. Do you want to talk about? Let's talk about the unitards. You want to talk about the unitards?
I sure do.
A waste.
A true waste.
Harmony is so wasted on this show. The fact that her last line is when Kurt's like, you did a good job. And she's like, and I'm only a sophomore and I'm already this good. Can you imagine what the next 2 years are going to be? They're going to be a bloodbath.
It's going to be a bloodbath. Like, it should have been a bloodbath.
Great foreshadowing for absolutely nothing because we never see this girl again.
I hate the show.
I don't know why Rory has been on this show for 4 episodes now and I literally forget he's even on it.
I know.
And Harmony has been on screen for a total of 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And every second of those 8 minutes is burned into my brain because she is such a strong character mm-hmm. and Lindsay Pierce is doing such a good job with her.
If I was on the Glee project and I was given the option of being like essentially a background character for however many, it's been 8 episodes so far, however many episodes Rory gets versus 2 episodes and 2 huge musical numbers. Hello, I'm taking the Harmony part.
But Damian McGinty has had 3 songs so far. I think A, Damian McGinty is like a little vanilla.
Mm.
And then B, I think they just do not know what to do with him.
Yeah. There's
because,
like, lost.
Yeah, he's had more songs than Harmony has.
No, totally.
It's just like,
but they're not strong.
Yeah.
And Harmony's stuff has been strong.
Yeah. Which is why it's so confusing to me that Ryan Murphy chose Damian McGinty and, spoiler alert, Samuel Larson to win
mm-hmm.
when clearly they knew what to do way more with Lindsay Pierce.
Yes. But I think they were like, she's too Rachel Berry.
Yeah.
We can't put her in the club.
Yeah.
And it's like,
well, then
up.
Don't have her be in the Glee Club. Have her be
yeah.
at the unitards and be a rival.
Yeah, exactly.
It's ridiculous. But yes, this number is very good. She does
so
a great
good.
Job.
She does a great job. My favorite part of this number, I pointed it out to you when
mm-hmm.
I walked in on you watching it, is watching Kurt and Rachel watch the number and singing along.
Yeah, and you know like, who was also singing along?
Us. Yes.
And it's one of those moments.
That's the most Ian and Lena thing that's ever happened on this show.
Yeah. It's one of the embarrassing moments where I do something and then Rachel Berry immediately does the exact same thing. And I'm like, I hate myself so much.
Totally. In that instance, you're Rachel and I'm Kurt.
Yeah. I think that might also just be true of
that,
us.
I think that is true. Oh my gosh. But yeah, I love this number. I think it's really beautiful. It is a qualm I have with this show, I think, in general. Like, when we have, like, the generic, even, like, Sue's Glee Club that one time. Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck happened with that? Where she, she did a Glee Club and they did, like, so Jesus dumb. Is a friend of mine. But it was, like, so good. Jesus is my friend. And it's, like, how didn't they win? How didn't they win? They're so good. And, like, the Unitards, woof. Woof, they were so good. But mm-hmm. what did they do for the other two songs?
They farted into a megaphone. That's all anyone did. They were like, we didn't know the theme was the Jacksons. We thought it was farting into a megaphone.
That's a conspiracy for the ages, is the theme was the Jacksons and no one listened. They
and
were like,
Will,
Gloria Gaynor.
Will intercepted the emails. He like deleted them off the other choir director's inboxes. Yeah. So that they wouldn't do the Jacksons. And so they all got disqualified. Yeah. And that's why the nude erections won.
There it is.
He was like, this time it won't be my unfortunate erection. We will win.
We will win. And if ever I go too far,
it's because of the things you have.
I love their little like Evita, hair buns they're all wearing. Mm-hmm. I love like the dresses they're wearing with mm-hmm. the jewels. It's beautiful. I love it. Yeah. I'm in.
I love a headcanon of, because you know, Glee like condenses the songs because they have a runtime, but like kind of in our mind they did the whole song.
Yes.
I love a headcanon where they did the costume change interlude and one of the guys did the entire Che monologue.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's just up there like, on the 9th February 1935 in Buenos Aires, a polo match between a team of leading Argentine players and the touring British side. The British ambassador said he had never seen a social occasion quite like it. And it's just everyone like, wait, what's happening now?
Dude, and you and me are what in the audience this? Like, yes,
yeah, we're
yes,
like, the
yes,
home team woo, won! Woo, but! But!
It's just fully Mandy Patinkin. The whole team won! But! I love that.
One thing that bothers me about this, that Glee does a lot from this moment forward, is they always have, like in every competition, there's always like the big bad. Mm-hmm. Whether it be like Vocal Adrenaline mm-hmm. or the Warblers or the Trouble Tones. And then there's always a lesser bad that they try to convince us is still a threat.
Yeah.
And Harmony is the first time it really happens, but it happens pretty consistently moving forward. They always like to try and make us, because they give the secondary big bad like such limited screen time, that to make us like care about them, they always focus on like one member.
Yes.
So it's like Harmony. And then in a later competition that I won't talk about, it's like, it's always like some mm-hmm. person
yes,
in
it's
the
one
group.
Person.
Yeah, exactly. And it just is like, is this still a show choir? Like,
it's just. Also is kind of silly to me too, because with that one person is the group of like very clean, like mm-hmm. performers and dancers. And I'm like, it's A, not a show choir, and B, a threat to what the New Directions is, you know, mm-hmm. the New Directions like doesn't have that kind of like big, clean, fun dancing, you know?
Yeah. No, it's because in this number, no one else opens their mouths until like the last 15 mm-hmm. seconds. And at the very, very end, the rest of the group comes in. And beyond that, it's just a Lindsay Pierce vehicle, which hear me out. I love. She's great.
No, totally.
But it's like, but isn't the point of these competitions like show choir?
Yeah.
Not like one person singing in their backup dancers.
They don't want to pay multiple singers. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's dumb. I don't like it. Super and it will dumb. Continue for the rest of the competitions in the show.
It's silly. It's like almost a caricature of itself. It's like, why?
Yeah.
Silly.
Just a little touch of star quality. Okay. Trouble Tones?
Trouble Tones. Did you notice one of the dancers is one of the Skanks?
Oh! Mm-hmm.
And she is one of the pregnant dancers as well. And the
man, that girl's had a wild 3 years.
Because she's one of my favorite dancers from So You Think You Can Dance, and I always kind of notice her.
I want to show about her character.
Seriously, right?
That she got teen pregnant as well at McKinley. No one cared.
No one cared.
And so she joined the Skanks. And then I guess like Santana threatened her at knife point. How did they get so many more girls for the club?
Seriously. Literally,
the last time we saw the Trouble Tones, they had 7 and now they have 12.
I think Finn mentioned where do
those other 5 girls come
that
from?
That they're Cheerios?
No, they are, but yeah. Why weren't they a part of them during the mashup?
And also, join New Directions.
Right? I think they all died, frankly.
Oh no.
Because where are they during tonight? You would think like they look like they're having fun. I would join the New Directions.
I would totally. Also, caveat to all of this. The tree pisses me off. The scene where the Trouble Tones come in to talk to the New Directions. And they're like, hey, just in case you lose, you can join our club.
Mm-hmm.
And Finn's like, that is so mean.
Yeah,
it's
what
like,
the?
No, it's not. You offered them the same thing 20 minutes later.
Yeah.
What the hell?
And it's also a very nice thing for them to
do. I agree, where it's like, we know you guys love show choir. Let's absolve the group. Whoever wins gets to do this. And like, we can still do this together. I thought that was a way nice thing to do.
I have no clue why. And like, even Will takes offense to it. And
he's like, fuck you guys.
Which this is so wild because Will is like objectively the worst character on the show.
Agreed.
But like, usually, you know, sometimes the kids will think something is awful, but from a writing perspective, it's like, oh, it's because they're kids. It's not actually awful.
Yeah.
But usually like,
and like, I like moments like that personally. Yeah.
But like usually when Will thinks something is awful, it's because we as the audience are supposed to agree. And Will is like, how dare you offer that to us?
He's like, what? We're going to wipe the floor with you. And it's like, hold on.
It's so dumb.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
They say it like they're saying it to like psych them out or something.
Yeah.
And even Santana's like, what are you talking about?
It's weird.
Yeah.
Honestly, weird. The New Directions are getting on my nerves.
Seriously, I'm sick of their asses. That is honestly, I wrote this down in my notes. Watching them rehearse for the competition. We didn't get a lick of the Trouble Tones rehearsing at all. We truly never have, you know, other than like the scales they've done one time. I am so uninterested in that group. Mm-hmm. Like even the infighting with like Finn and Blaine, I like whatever. I like their scene together when like, you know, Blaine is like, doing the punching bag thing. But the scene before that, where they're like fighting and it's like, we got to do the sex appeal. And then Blaine says something like, I'm not for sale. I'm like, first of all, who the fuck wrote this? I hate that so much. Second of all, I'm so uninterested in this group of characters. Like all of these boys of New Directions, like fighting with each other. I'm over it. Oh my God.
Yeah, no. The Trouble Tone should have won, and the show just continues with the Trouble Tones.
Yeah. Even still, let's talk about their performance. Tell me what you think.
It's incredible.
Yes.
Is what I think. I think this is one of the best numbers Glee ever did. Mm-hmm. I think that the Adele mashup just beats it out.
Yeah.
Mostly because of the stakes surrounding
it. Yes.
But I listened to this cover all the time. It is so, so good. It is so fun.
Uh-huh.
How?
What an amazing mashup.
How'd they not win?
Seriously. And a moment that made me cry, I should like just like keep a tally of moments that made me cry on Glee. It's when they like do the tango together. First of all, I love that. Especially because like, you know, it's Santana and freaking Britney like publicly like dancing together. Mm-hmm. I love that. And like, it's so good.
Yeah.
And their dancing is incredible. Like their singing is incredible. I do not understand how they did not win.
Finn does a little moment with Blaine where he gives him a fist bump and he's like, oh, we got this.
And I was like, shut the fuck up.
What are you watching?
Yeah, seriously.
That was during
the fart bit.
Yes.
That was during the misogynistic scream
Brittany,
match.
Brittany is like fully doubled over. Santana's holding a microphone to her butt. She's farting. And Mercedes is just going on a sexist tirade.
Yeah.
And Finn's like, yeah, honestly, this is so offensive.
Yeah, she's yelling things like, get in the kitchen. Make me a sandwich.
Make us a sandwich.
You shouldn't have the right to vote. You should be having babies.
What, the one woman works at like the DMV or yeah. something? She's like, women shouldn't drive cars.
She's like, you don't have enough blood flowing to your brain to judge this competition because it's floating to your uterus.
Do people say that? Ew. I hate that.
Ugh. That's mostly from Parks and Rec.
Oh, really? Oh, that's so funny.
It's Who says that? Leslie holds a camping trip with all of the former heads of the Parks Department because she like admires them so much. Yes. And then she finds out that they're all just awful people. Uh-huh. And one of them is this like super old guy who is so, so sexist. And he tells Leslie, he's like, you know, women aren't fit to be in government leadership roles because you need to have so much blood flowing to your baby center that not enough of it can get back up to your brain.
Oh my God, I freaking love that show. When are we starting Parks and Rec podcast?
I don't know.
That's the question I'm asking. This number is so beautiful. Like, there's not even much to say about it because it's just a perfectly number.
Yeah.
Like, my God, if you want us to think that the Trouble Tones didn't win, make them worse.
Show them farting into a megaphone.
Show me Mercedes, like, tirade, please. Yeah. I need it. Come on. I do not buy. They're going to make them that fucking good. They're going to make them look that good. They're going to make them dance that well. They're going to give them the fucking coolest mashup that's ever been. I don't buy it. I'm over it.
My thing is less the Trouble Tones were too good, although I agree they were, and I think they were too good for the show in general. Mm-hmm. But the New Directions were too bad. I'm like,
yeah,
like they didn't play to the New Directions' strengths. Mm-hmm. And I actually think that ABC does. Mm-hmm. I think ABC plays to the New Directions' strengths. I don't think it's as good as I Will Survive.
No.
But I think it's great. And I think that if there were two other numbers on par with ABC, mm-hmm. that I would be like, the Trouble Tones should have won, but I can kind of, like, maybe I Will Survive was their best number.
Yeah.
And then, like, the New Directions did three, like, equally strong numbers. But I feel like every number that the New Directions does gets a little,
gets a little worse. Yeah.
I feel like ABC, there's, like, a little drop in quality to control. And then I feel like there's a huge drop in quality to totally Man in the
good.
Mirror.
Because I love Control, but I agree. I don't think it's as good as ABC. And I certainly don't think either of them are better than, you know, I Will Survive / Survivor.
Do you want to talk about the new Directions?
I do. This is probably the moment I was crying the most in the episode. Mostly because I think Tina was so wronged in this show. Mm-hmm. And she is so good in this number. Like, she is so cute. Like, and it bothers me that this is like one of the first times we've ever seen her like featured. And even still, like, other people have solos in the song, you know, even Mike is heavily featured in this number. And it like makes me emotional because I love these characters so much, and I haven't like gotten to know them, you know? Yeah. And we have like, gosh, like, what does Tina want to be when she grows up? I don't know.
A sewage worker.
I know, but I care to know that, you know, and it made me emotional because I love them. And I think that number is cute. It's mm-hmm. so cute. It's really good. And I love seeing the little band members dance their best. Oh, they're the cutest. I love it. Oh, and I love the moment of the slow motion. Mike sees his dad. Tina sees mm-hmm. his dad. And like just like getting back into dancing really quickly. I'm like, that is the most like performance thing ever. Like you clocking something in slow motion and just having to move on. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. Oh, I loved it so much.
Yeah, it's so great to see Tina get a song.
Yeah.
And Quinn, like, she doesn't get a lot, but she gets a little feature.
Yeah.
And, like, shout out to them. All that had to happen was every single girl had to either quit the club or be disqualified.
There it is. See?
That's all that had to happen.
That's all that had to happen.
They're not treated that poorly on this show.
No, not at all. Glee doesn't hate girls. Glee loves its girls.
And even then, two of the three songs are still led by men.
That's the thing that I think... Oh my gosh, I keep saying it bothers me the most. Everything bothers me the most. Like, I think that Quinn should have sang the control song.
I agree.
Especially if they were going to do Man in the Mirror fronted by five of the guys.
I have no clue why Quinn did not sing control.
I know.
And it irritates me so much.
And I mean, I do have an idea why. And it's because, like, Finn wanted to feature Blaine and, like, give Blaine a space mm-hmm. to, like, perform. So I get that. But also, like, hello?
This is story about control. Queen be Quinn's control.
Control of what she says, control of what she does. And this time she's going to do it her way.
Come on. Shouldn't say this is a story about control. Plain Blanderson's control.
I know. Ugh. I love that song.
Hear me out though. On ABC really fast.
Yes.
Love this number. So fun. Woohoo. A wonderful time. There's a moment in this number that truly is very clearly supposed to like have a big wow factor. And we're supposed to be like, I can't believe that just happened. Mm-hmm. All Kurt does is leapfrog over someone.
I know.
And it is A, played in slow motion.
I know.
Which all that does is highlight how unimpressive it is.
Yeah, totally.
And B, the crowd gives it a standing ovation.
I know. They're like, woo!
Could they not find something else for him to do?
The weirdest thing about this show is the standing up during the exciting parts of show choir moments.
Which, if you're going to stand, stand.
Yeah.
They sit down after every song.
Yeah.
And then to stand up and make up your mind.
I know.
And also, they don't stand for the treble tones, which, like, hello, are you all blind and deaf? But they stand up for all three Jackson songs. It was, frankly, it was the Jackson fan club was there.
Well, I mean, that's the theme of the competition.
Yeah. And they were like, finally, they understood the theme. But literally, there's a moment in each Jackson song where the audience stands up and dances.
Yes, decides to stand, yeah.
Just stay on your feet at that point.
Literally.
Like, gosh, can your knees take this much standing and sitting?
I know.
Holy cow.
Also, relax.
Yeah, chill out. Honestly, they're standing in five spotlights singing Man on the Mirror.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Not
like,
that impressive.
You don't need to stand.
Like, we can sit down for this one.
Yeah.
Do you see the dance moves that Puck is doing? That's not worth standing up for.
I'm not standing.
Come on.
No. Yeah. I do love Control. I think it's a very cool number. I like the dancing in it. I think it's cute.
I love the way that Quinn delivers that monologue directly to Shelby Corcoran.
Yeah, she's like, your life is in my fucking hands.
Seriously,
bitch.
She's like, this is a story about control, my control over your job,
yeah,
bitch.
Yeah, seriously. Over the rest of your life. seriously. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And then we have Man in the Mirror. And it's just, I'm so. Like, yeah, cool. You have a club full of boys. Let's feature them. Like, off. I'm so over it. I don't care about the New Directions right now. Make me mad.
I wouldn't have cared that much if it was a boy-fronted number.
If the other two songs were girl-fronted numbers.
If Quinn sang Control.
Quinn. Yes.
Yeah, because ABC, I mean, like, Kurt and Mike are in it. It is, like, Tina-fronted, though.
Yes.
And then if Control had been Quinn fronted, then I would have been like, okay, yeah. And then we do like a boys number, mm-hmm. but the fact that Control is Blaine and then
Wild.
Man in the Mirror is Blaine and friends again.
Yes.
Come on.
I know. Like, just give Man in the Mirror to Blaine then. That makes no sense.
Or just pick a different Michael Jackson song.
Okay. So
there are
many Michael Jackson songs.
So many other songs that would work better for show
awesome.
Choir.
I know. Lich, love this song.
Don't Stop to Get Enough. Come on. That would have been awesome. I would have been crying.
I know. I would have stood up for that. Or like, hey, Benny, baby, with the high heels on. Yeah, I mean, there's not even much to say about it other than I'm bored by it. And like, I just...
And it ended. They're all arms around each other, which like, kill me, so corny.
I know.
And
like,
I,
don't you guys
as
have to
a
get
joke,
off stage?
As a joke, I said, someone better say, make that change. And
Mike
then
Chang,
Mike Chang, he really mic'd that Chang. Why?
Make that change.
I love to believe.
Every time I've ever seen this song performed, someone says, make that change.
No, thank you. No, thank you. It's fine, like on make the recording, but live, I'm always like, oh, I got the message of the song. I don't need you to then speak it to me at the end. Like, I was listening.
Also, why didn't he say Mike That Chang?
Right, Mike That Chang, Dad. Mike That Chang. Dad, this is to you. I like to believe that that's what made his dad change his mind.
Yeah.
This dad saw him dancing in ABC and he was like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then hearing his son say Mike That Chang, he was like, ooh, I need to Mike a Chang in my heart.
Yeah, seriously.
I had a Chang of heart. I need to be open to his dancing.
Reminds me of Community.
Oh, how about we Chang the subject and stop using your name as a pun for the word change. It's not clever.
It's not a pun. Oh my gosh. You know what I love in Community?
What?
When the dean uses it.
Uh-huh. My favorite one is, come on, I'm Dean, and my hands are so clean at this moment.
My favorite.
I am stapling.
My favorite is the one where he's like, would that this hoodie were a time hoodie?
Would and that then this says, hoodie were a time hoodie?
And then he says, oh, no, this is a different time. It's like way, like in like fucking season 6 or something, he says something like, it's my whole identity.
One of my favorites is when he comes in dressed as Tina Turner. And he goes, what's Dean got to do with it? I'm just here telling you it's time for daylight savings. So be sure to Tina Turner the clocks back.
God, I gotta rewatch this show. It's so good.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a Dean. Greendale celebrating Gone with the Windows.
God, I want to go to Greendale so bad.
I love that show so much.
Dude, it's the best show ever.
Oh, it is so good.
Let's talk about Glee now.
No, I don't want to.
Gone with the Wind.
Let's talk about the Glee episode of Community.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Mike That Chang.
We have talked about the Glee episode of Community at length several times.
Only on a mini-sode, though. That doesn't count.
Oh, true. You're right.
The nude erections win. Why? Who knows? Because
you're teasing me.
Because the Troubled Tones were sexist. We've been over this. Why is it that the group who gets third place is
They're always so excited
like, to have literally done the absolute worst job they could have done?
There's only three teams, Harm. Like, come on.
What are you talking about, Harmony? If you were really a Rachel Berry, you would be furious.
I know. I would have liked it better if she would have like cried.
Mm-hmm,
and then Kurt was like, you did a great job. And she's like,
I know. All these idiots held me back.
Yeah, that would have been way funnier. It's going to be a bloodbath next year.
Yeah. Oh, man, I wish it had been.
Oh,
rewrite season 4. Put Harmony into it,
please.
Seriously. Oh, also, haven't done one of these in a while. New Directions win. Once again, why? And Will slow motion looks at Emma, points at her, gives her a kiss.
He goes, for you.
He does?
He holds up four fingers and he points to her and then blows her a kiss.
Oh my gosh.
For you.
Mr. Turtle really does some numerology on his hands.
Seriously. I hate
Turtle watch, he looks like a turtle right there.
For you. What did you do, Will? What did you do?
He said, let's not give Quinn a song. Yeah. That's what he said.
He said, I hate that Quinn Fabre.
He said, let's feature Puck in Man in the Mirror. Ugh. That's what'll make us win.
What's Dean got to do with it?
Time to Tina Turner the clock's back. I love when he comes in and he's dressed in half a suit and half a dress.
Yes.
And he's like, I'm here because I have good news and bad news. And he gives whatever the news is and leaves.
Yes.
And then he comes back in and he's like, I have to tell you guys. I really don't think I thought this one through. I have to go to the bank today. What am I supposed to tell them? I had good news and bad news. And then later in the episode, he shows up and he's like, you guys, the people at the bank loved it.
You want to know one of my favorite episodes? The one where Annie loses her pen and she makes everyone like empty all their shit and like, you know, take off all their clothes and like not leave the room.
I think that might be my favorite episode of all time.
I love that episode. And the whole thing with Dean being like, there's a puppy parade. You better get here. They're getting older by the minute. So good.
This is not a Dean, like a pun with the name Dean, but my favorite Dean Palpatine in the entire series. Is he walks in and he's like, I'm here to say he's dressed as a payday bar.
Oh, yes.
And he says, I'm here to say that payday won't happen until next week. And here is my freestyle rap apology. Well, I'm a peanut bar, and I'm here to say your checks will arrive on another day. Another day, another dime, another rhyme, another dollar. Another stuffed shirt with another white collar. Criminals, Wall Street, taking the pie. And all the black man gets is a plate of white lies. Prisons recruiting them. Police be shooting them. Rap artists looting them. Labels are diluting them. Barack Obama is scared of me because I don't swallow knowledge and I spit it for free. Let me clear my throat. Oh. And then he starts crying. I don't know what that was. I don't know what that was. And then he just runs out of the room. That is one of the funniest scenes. I didn't know you had
that entire thing memorized.
I love that scene so much. It is so funny. All right. Don't talk about tonight.
I do.
I do something I really like about this how the episode wraps up. Mercedes, Santana, and Brittany all rejoin the New Directions, yada, yada, yada. I do love that it's Quinn that convinces them to.
Yes, I agree.
That it's not like Rachel comes and she's like, you guys, we love you so much. But it's Quinn. And Quinn is kind of like, hey, I know I've been the Joker for the last few months. But like, I just want to, like, I don't think it's worth it. Essentially, she's like, I hit rock bottom because I was going to report a sexual predator, which is dumb. Yeah. And that is something like, she should have done.
That's super not her rock bottom.
But I do think she hit rock bottom when she tried to trick Puck into having sex with her so that she could get pregnant. That is rock bottom. Yeah. Bottom. And she's like, I just don't think that you guys should be holding this grudge. I think you're going to regret it, essentially. Mm-hmm. And like, we would love to have you back in the New Directions. I even convinced Mr. Suster to make sure that you have solos at the competitions. Like, we'd love to have you back. I do love that that is a Quinn moment of her essentially showing that she still has a friendship with Santana and Brittany.
I know. I agree. I also, I like the scene with Rachel as well. This turnaround does feel a little fast to me. And mm-hmm. she does feel a little like, you know, Saint Vibre over here, where she's like in this white dress and she like is all like sins are absolved. And like, I feel like this episode convinced her that she, you know, something that like wasn't true. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I do love, I have missed like the Unholy Trinity, like friend group. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, Quinn tells him, she's like, you should go back to the Glee Club because, you know, when we're 27, which I was like, you mean right now? Because you all look 27. She's like, when we're 27, we're going to look back on this as the best time of our lives.
I promise hope not. You, no 27-year-old looks back at high school like that.
If you are like, the best time of my lives was spring of my senior year, like, I truly do have fond memories of spring of my senior year. Like, I had some good times. If that's the best time of your life, that's really sad.
I know. And like, in high school, I think it's easy to talk like that. And I think you should talk like that. You know, like, let's live it up. We are young. Let's set the world on fire.
Yeah.
We can burn brighter than the sun. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Carry me home tonight. Come on. Seriously.
What's the Glee song that you love?
I don't know.
The one they wrote that's like essentially generic.
Light up the world tonight. You gotta give up the bark and bye. Yeah.
The best time of my life was certainly not my senior year. But yeah. And I do like, I do think in high school, I think it's good to like, in any time, you know, go have a good time. Don't like hold yourself back with your stubbornness. Let's go, you know?
Yeah.
Live it up. We're young. Let's set the world on fire.
Speaking of fun, that song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have anything to say about it?
Me? No, it is wild to me that this song is so popular. Like, I I know what you mean. But like, this, the fact that this is like one of the most like, oh, sold the Glee songs, version. like the Glee version. Okay, I am obsessed with this song. Like, this song is everything to me. But I didn't know how popular the Glee version was.
Yeah.
Did you guys like the Glee version? Did you guys listen to this frequently? Did it bring it into the mainstream for you? What's going on? I would like to know. I do. And you know me. I love a sit down celebrate song. Red Solo mm-hmm. Cup, you know, it's my fave.
Yeah, I'm so you into wouldn't it. Shut up about it.
I know. I seriously wouldn't. And I love that everyone kind of like has a little moment in this. It's like Rachel coming back into the club and like the girls coming back into the club. And one of the lines, like, the angels have arrived. And like Mike like gestures to Brittany and he's like, the angels have arrived. And I'm like, no, totally. I've missed these girls in the club. I'm glad they're back. Having Mr. Shu come back in and everyone like have a group hug.
That
like
was
we
creepy.
Have some real like, you know, things to work on in this club. And you sent Quinn to like, you know, apologize essentially for you, Mr. Shu. Mm-hmm. Like, you're a terrible person.
Also, just like, where was he?
I know.
Like, I don't know. Like, when they are rehearsing a number, I'm always like, oh yeah, Will is there because they're rehearsing and he has to give them notes. But when it's like these hangout songs where it doesn't feel rehearsed, it feels like they're just hanging out.
Yeah.
It's creepy to me that he was watching them.
I know.
Like, he just comes out of the wings at the end and does like a supervillain laugh and hugs everyone.
Ha, 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 ha.
Like, where were you, sir? Were you creeping in the shadows? What's going on?
He's like waiting for the girls to come. And then he's like, okay, now that they think that it's just the kids here, I'm going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, I would, if I was any of these girls, I would be very upset with Mr. Schuster. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, we have some like work to do.
Yeah.
And you need to apologize.
Yeah.
I would have loved. And I love that Quinn was the one to like go talk to them. I would have loved a Mr. Shu apology.
Yes.
Because I think they all deserve an apology.
Yeah. And I also hate that the whole reason they left is they felt like they were being underutilized. And then Quinn is like, don't worry, things are so different. And to prove it, we're all going to be in the auditorium and Finchel is going to sing a song
yes.
for us. Like, yes, Sam and Quinn like get a few lines. Like, other characters do get to sing. But it's like other characters get two or three sentences mm-hmm. and then Finchel sings most of it themselves.
Yes, for sure.
Some things never change, like the way that Finchel gets every soul. Some things stay the same, like the way that Rachel has sung a third of the songs on the show. That was a weird reference. I don't even like that movie.
You don't like Frozen 2?
No, it's a mess. What? Ian?
Who said that?
I don't know. That wasn't me. Also, I think the Britango mm-hmm. is a misnomer.
Sure.
Because you know who the queen of the Britango is in this episode?
It's Quinn.
Quinn Fabre Britangos twice.
With everyone.
She can't get enough of it.
I know.
She's Britangoing left and right. She Britangos with Tina after the New Directions
and
do their
Mercedes?
Set. She Britangos with Mercedes in this number.
Uh-huh.
It should be called the Quintango.
I know, the Quintango.
Come on, the Quango.
The Quango.
She's out here quangoing with everyone.
You're right.
Yo.
Yo.
Sectionals, man.
I know. I don't even more thoughts on this episode.
My final thing is that this is honest. Mm. I think these are the best competition costumes they've had so far.
Really?
Yeah, I really like the suits. I think are really fun.
Oh, the
I
suits
love
are awesome.
The suits with the like really puffy skirts mm-hmm. are so cool.
I know, super cute.
And then, I mean, the Troubletones dresses I really like. I don't think they're like amazing, but
I
like
don't
them
like
enough.
I don't like that when they spin, they like they're
yeah,
like
they like turn
the
into
bottom.
Mushrooms.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, but the New Directions costumes, honestly, maybe that's where they won.
Yeah, probably.
The judges were like,
oh, they all have tailored white jackets. I mean,
yeah. You're like, I'm a fashion designer first. Mm-hmm. A judge of show choir second.
They wear great costumes.
They have
real.
The best costumes. They win. I also love how much the two female judges do not want to be there.
I know. And then they have the queen clown. That is so funny. I think that's all my thoughts on the episode.
That's all mine too.
I just think that Sam would be such a bad exotic dancer. He's a bad dancer.
That's true. And he does the body roll. I was like, what's happening?
It's not even a good body roll.
What is this?
I'm over it.
Doom, doom, doom.
Best part, worst part.
Boom. Lena, what was your best part?
Okay. I think my best number, I will leave Survivor, I Will Survive for you.
Oh, well, honestly,
I'm going to pick ABC.
An honor.
Yeah. And that number is really good. But I think ABC is special to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I really love the Destiny's Child, Gloria Gaynor mashup for sure. Mm-hmm. But Tina and Mike being featured, I think, means more to me than that. I just, it was so special and it's so good and I love them. Mm-hmm. And I think my best part of the episode, we have a good Barry watch moment.
We got more than one.
I know. Well, the one where she's like, when they're like sitting together and even Rachel's like, well, if you go to Yale, you won't have me to compete with you. Very gay.
And then Rachel's like, we're kind of friends, aren't we?
And she's like,
Yeah, we kind of are. And I was like, yeah, it's because you're more than.
Kind of because you're girlfriends.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yes.
The Barry Watch.
Oh, yeah.
The Barry Watch.
Is that my best part, though? I don't know. I think probably the slow motion moment where they see Mike Chang's dad. Mm-hmm. It's just so cool. I just love that number. And yeah, and there are other cool fun parts of the episode, but I'm gonna say that's my best part. I don't know. Woo! Woo! Ian, what was yours?
First I was afraid, I was petrified, kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along.
I'm
and
now you're back.
I'm out of space. Obviously that number, it's so good. Call. Honestly, I like, plot-wise, this episode, I'm kind of like, but the competition isolated is very strong.
And one of the strongest, like, you know, I think even setups of a competition,
like,
I feel.
Besides Man in the Mirror, every number is really exciting. And usually for a competition, we either won't see, I mean, so far up to this point, we usually don't see the third group. Or the third group is a throwaway performance. Yes.
And this one is not. Yeah.
Yeah. And the unitards number is so fun. And then I'm a survivor /I Will Survive/Survivor is life changing.
Yep.
And then ABC and control are really great. So I would say just that section of the episode is very strong and fun.
Love it.
What's your weapon?
Last part is either all the jokes they make about Sam being a stripper, just like not fun. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. And just the full gaslighting that is happening with Quinn, you know, it just is like, you're doing the bad thing. You're doing the wrong thing. When it's like, no, her friend, someone who she's very close to, is fully being abused. And it just so happens that, like, she also has, like, you know, something to gain from it, you know, but like, I just hate it. I hate it. And they all treat it like, well, she's just doing this just to get Beth back. Mm-hmm. And it's like, even if she is, she's still going to be, like, saving her girlfriend, you know? I hate it. Ian, what was your worst part?
That. And then, besides the megaphone farting, probably the way that the treble tones are, like, so villainized in this episode. And I do have to acknowledge that something does come of this plot line, which is that Mercedes and Santana are promised a solo at regionals and nationals, which, spoiler alert, does happen. Yes. They do get solos during those two competitions. But beyond that, it's just this attitude of like, oh, thank goodness the New Directions, our heroes won.
Yeah.
And like Mercedes, Santana, and Brittany like really got like strayed from the path, got lost and got kind of selfish. Mm-hmm. And now like they finally humbled themselves and come back.
But don't worry, you can repent and come back.
Yeah. And it's like, no,
your way. Yeah.
They were in the right.
No, exactly.
And like some serious changes need to happen in this club that I know are not going to happen. Yeah, we need to mic some Changs in this club. And I know that the Changs are not going to be mic'd. I know it's going to stay the same.
Exactly.
And that's dumb.
Super dumb. I agree. Well, how?
Assignment of the week, what Jackson song are you singing?
Great question.
I'm singing I Want You Back by the Jackson 5.
I referenced it earlier. It's one of my faves. The way you make me feel. The way you make me feel.
The way you make me feel.
You really turn me on.
You really turn me on.
You knock me off of my feet, Jackson.
You knock me off my feet.
My lonely days are gone.
My lonely days are gone.
Ooh, but What are you singing?
I already said.
Oh.
I Want You Back. Oh, Jackson, yes. Jackson 5.
Sorry, my head is not in the game today. Oh, wow. Well, that's your episode, y'all.
Woo!
It scared me.
Our last sectionals with the OG class.
I know. I'm kind of sad.
Bye.
I'm kind of sad. Dang. It's our senior year, you know?
It's our senior year. Also, will we hit a year?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. No, this... we're going to hit our year mark this week.
What day?
Our podcast premiered on August 29th.
Wow.
And that is Sunday.
We made our our podcasting account on August 18th. Today is the
18th. Exciting.
That's a year ago today.
Dang. Wow. Yeah. Happy birthday to this podcast.
So is this episode going to come out before?
Yeah. No, this comes out on Wednesday, which is... the 25th,
okay.
And the year mark is the 29th.
Wow.
So our birthday is 29th. We want to do something.
Yeah.
We also have full-time jobs.
Yes.
So we can't get too crazy. So we're just going to go live on TikTok on the 29th.
Yeah. We'll get you the information. We'll post it on the Instagram. We'll post it on the Twitter. We'll post it on TikTok.
For the exact time.
Yeah. But you should be there. We'll maybe we'll hang out. We'll just have a little birthday party.
Yeah, let's buy cake.
I would love that. We'll have a little mukbang. Wait. Yeah,
we'll do a cake mukbang on TikTok.
That'd be
for our
so
birthday.
Fun. We could also I don't know, hang out. You can ask us some questions.
Yeah.
We can hang out. It'll be fun.
So everyone get ready for that. Neither of us
you're invited
live
to our birthday
before,
party.
So
oh yeah,
to
no,
it.
Totally. Be nice. Seriously.
Huh? It'll be an adventure.
Yeah. Well, if you have thoughts about this episode, you can send them to recoveringgleek @gmail.com if you want to send us them in email form, or you can send them to us in voicemail form at anchor.fm/recoveringgleek.
Our social medias, you can follow us if you want to check out our TikTok live.
Yeah.
@recoveringgleek_podcast.
Be there or be square.
That's also on Instagram. And then our Twitter, where we will be posting the information what time we're actually going to do it on the 29th.
Yes.
Which, who knows right now?
Who knows?
@recoveringgleek. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
If you're feeling funky, you know, you can send us some money. You can go to anchor.fm/birthday present. You can go to anchor.fm/recoveringgleek. Click the support button.
Wow. Can you believe our podcast is about to be a year old?
Oh, crazy.
I know.
Crazy.
Crazy. Well, thank you for coming on this journey with us. We seriously, the way that we can do this is truly such a bright light in my life. I love doing it, and thank you for being here. Wow, happy birthday, our podcast.
Happy birthday, podcast.
Perfect. Well, we love you guys so much. You better go out there and spread some glee. Here is a kiss on your forehead from me to you, birthday style. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Recovering Gleek. Happy birthday to all of us for being here.
Here's one from me. This is your birthday kiss. It isn't very long.
Oh, good. Yay. Right. Bye, guys. Go spread some glee. See you later.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok @recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Only it'll burn brighter than the sun.
Oh, I know that I'm not all that you got.
I guess that I just thought I was really in my way to fall apart. But I ran to back. So it means a check. Cause I thought someone to carry me home.
Truly, I listened to that song and I feel like I'm 17.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
Whoa.
I remember my iPod I used to play that on, and I used to walk home from school, and I was like, I am the main fucking character.
That is a song written for people in their senior year of high school.
Easily.
Where it's like, you're going to be young forever and nothing else matters.
Seriously.
Light the world on fire. No consequences. Who cares?
We can be brighter than the sun. So good.